Okay, I'll just make a comment about the last talk. I'm a theorist. I've worked on the swimming of bacteria and on the mechanics, and I think it's amazing. This field is so driven by experiment. That is, no theorist had ever imagined what Jeff just showed us. That is, I know all the theorists who worked in this area, and they ignored the hook, actually. They figured the hook did something else. It would act as a universal joint. And it allowed bacteria, well, mostly people were concerned with bacteria that had multiple flagella. And then the hook allows the bacteria to basically sweep in any direction. But this discovery of the flicks, I know Jeff credited it to the group in Pittsburgh, but this paper that they wrote really pushed on this aspect of it, and it's something new, something that we weren't smart enough to come up with on our own. It had to be seen in the laboratory. So it's interesting how biological physics is so driven. It's not yet a field of physics that's as mature as some others, where the theory actually makes independent predictions, which are then observed in the laboratory. We haven't gotten to that stage yet. Now we're really driven still by these observations and experiments. So it's interesting. Cultural thing. Anyway, I'm going to open the town hall meeting by giving a short report. So last year, Lars and I announced that we, based on your input, would think about a teacher in residence program here at the KITP. And so this has evolved a little bit in the roughly year in between. I think it's been 11 months, actually. I wanted to give an update on what we are thinking about the teacher in residence program. The goal was to bring in a small group of teachers in the summer here and to place them within our program. So we run programs all year round. We don't care about the school year. We just keep going. I think we're only off 2 years, two weeks a year, right? We work 50 weeks a year, basically. So we're operational in the summer, of course. We'd invite, let's say, up to four high school teachers to the KITP, embed them in the program. They would participate in the programs that are going on at the time here. Their job would be to create materials based on what they're learning in the programs for other teachers, for their students, for the community at large. What they create is, of course, up to them, but I just, and I'm not sure what it would be exactly, but I give some ideas here, videos or teaching materials, apps, I'm not sure. What you find the most effective, and we can discuss that after my little presentation, but we would also expose you to a local thing, which is there's a, at one of the high schools called Dos Pueblos, there's an engineering academy, the Dos Pueblos Engineering Academy, and that's basically the brainchild of someone named Amir Aboshair, and it's gotten national attention. It's project-based learning, so we would have a day where we visit that. This is the layout of their facility over at Dos Pueblos. It's pretty impressive, I have to say, for a high school. But this, not every high school can have something like this, but it's an interesting and inspirational example. We're foreseeing a stay of 3 weeks for each teacher within a four-week window. So there's a little flexibility about which 3 weeks you would come. The window is July 7th to August 1st. That's based on our own constraints. We can't really change that. We'd expect the teachers in this program to collaborate with each other. We would house them over in a unit called West Cottages, beautiful location on a point which juts out into the Pacific on the western part of the campus. It's when you're there, it's like you're a million miles from everything civilized, it seems. But you're not. You're really right next to Isla Vista. So well, maybe if you know Isla Vista, you are away from civilization. we would designate within the programs, scientists would be the point of contact. They would not only assist the teachers while they're in the program, they'd also give the teachers advance homework, let's see, to do before they got here, reading materials, things like that. I think the benefits of this would be obvious. If you're a fan of coming to the KITP for the teachers' conferences, I think you'd understand why this would be a great opportunity. I don't think I have to go into that. These are the choices that we've identified. So in the first part of that four-week window, there's a program called the Dynamics of Planetary Interiors, which is about solid planets like the Earth, terrestrial-type planets, and their internal structure. Turns out planets are fluids inside. I don't know if you knew that, but there's the mantle, which is a fluid, and then there's the core, which is also a fluid. So that there's a program. This is I don't know if this is obvious. Do I have a pointer? Here it is. This is the time scale. So here's the beginning of the period, and the end of it would be there. And these are the three programs that we run simultaneously. So there'd be tutorial period within this program, Earth 14. And so that first part would overlap that tutorial period. The second option would be a program we have called Superbugs, which I can give this the subtitle for these tutorials here, Microbial Strategies for Survival and Evolution. That would be the second part of that four-week period, where there would be 2 weeks of tutorials in that program. So you have two options if you're interested in applying for this. The application is very simple, as we foresee it. You would have to have only 3 years minimum teaching experience. You send your curriculum vitae, two letters of recommendation, one from your principal, one from a peer, personal statement, why you think this would be great for your particular situation, and then a plan. What would you do with what you learned here? That would be the entire application. That would all be online. We haven't set up the site yet. That's it. So I'm going to close my formal presentation, and then I'd like to hear feedback on this or anything else. That is, we're really interested in what we can do to help high school science teachers, given our focus. You know, we have a very specific agenda at this institute, and some of it overlaps high school physics teaching or science teaching, and some of it doesn't. So, you know, what can we do to help you? What can we do to improve your lives? Okay, so open it up. Questions? We have microphones. Do people think this is a great idea? Would they apply to it? Yes.
Were the two programs driven by what research is going on, or by the research professors who would be the contacts? And if so, do you think that the scale would stay the same? For so example, 2015 would have two different type of projects going on?
I can't say definitively how we would work 2015. Probably there would be a very similar situation in the sense that we would have one biophysical program at that time and one program which isn't biophysical. I'm just thinking what our schedule looks like at that time. So it probably 2015 would be very similar, but the topics would be completely different. Except one would probably be biophysics oriented. Why did we choose those particular ones? It just happened in this summer we had those two tutorials going on, which were just a happy coincidence. The lasers program is the third program, and that didn't have that. So that's why we excluded that one. It's just that simple accident. Yes?
In this geographic area, or?
Not at all. It's open nationally.
Okay.
Yes. Wait for the microphone. Sorry.
Is there a plan for follow-up after the 3 weeks? Would you schedule video conferences amongst the teachers and residents, or similar follow-up where they could discuss how things are going, implementation, outreach, things of that nature?
I don't know yet. I have to say this is something that we're committed to. We're committed to funding it. The scientific points of contact, of course, won't be here afterward. They're coming for the programs. They'll go back to their home institutions. So where would that video conference be exactly? I'm not sure. So maybe this is something that can be done informally, or maybe it's something we can nucleate here. It's not exactly clear at this stage if we would be the center for, you know, the follow-up interaction, but it makes sense that we would have to keep track of it somehow. So I'm not sure I can answer your question exactly, because after the programs are over, people will be scattered across the country. It's not clear there would be a point of contact here anymore, but we should have a way of capturing what happened afterward. So how we do that exactly, I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't know.
As a point of feedback, not a question, I think the follow-up is critical to the success. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would, whatever form it takes, that would be a very important part of the program.
So what kind of follow-up would you foresee?
I suppose teleconferences make sense simply because the people are scattered. It's not like I have a definite thing in mind, okay. But I think that bears thinking through.
Well, another thing you probably do is to actually, presumably you keep having these teachers' conferences, so you could invite the people who are here over the summer and to actually give a presentation
at the next
teachers' conference as also a way for telling others about the work they have done and so on.
We could turn the town hall into something
exactly.
Where teachers actually come up.
But I think one of the points that Greg is making, though, is that this will be the first time, and so they are still kind of figuring it out. But so any suggestion, I think it's useful.
Are you going to have any give any money to the teacher to buy materials for the classroom, for the whatever they learn in the workshop?
You mean after they go back to their school, would there be materials support? I think it's unlikely that we can budget that because I don't see how we would do that right now. We're taking these, so the director has committed funds for this project for 2014. I'd have to think if there's anything extra in the budget. I'm not sure. So I have to say, I don't know, but I don't see a way to do that immediately from our budget. Yes.
Just an important consideration that we were chatting about was that teachers really need credit, generally speaking. So if you haven't thought about how that could be a class that they get credit for at UCSB, that would be really important. To some people, at least, it would be super important to get some kind of credit for that.
Okay. And what do the schools accept as credit?
There's a bazillion different answers to that because it's all locally controlled. But if it's like a college level course, you would get professional credit for that kind of universally. So, if it was a course that had a course number and something that they got for that.
We generated a certificate. Is that enough?
No.
It has to appear in our catalog?
It does depend on where you're at, but that wouldn't be universally accepted, just a certificate.
UCSB extension. Okay.
I would say, at least speaking for where I teach, I mean, you get credit for going to sports clinics on volleyball.
So
I would imagine if you said, you generated a a piece of paper that said 3 weeks of curriculum development. Yeah, I understand. I know, but
it's not universal. But okay. All right.
So I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
I do, and I would.
All right. I can't give an answer because I don't have the connection right now to the administration that would allow me to say yes, we can give credit for this. But thank you for that.
I would say reverse the process and go to your district and ask them what would be required in order to receive continuing education credits, and uh-huh. then go from there.
Okay. Wait, you can't speak without a microphone, and there's someone else over here.
That's me. I would, as a recommendation, try to take advantage of the presence of Judy Willis, who I believe is on the faculty at UCSB here, with regards to her research on brain-based education. If you've got an educator in here, that would be a great combination of this, and then, along with, like I said, the brain-based educational.
Judy is in the School of Education on campus?
Is it brain science and psychology? Whatever.
Nope.
UCSB is as close as I can get for her.
And what? I just don't know her work. What is she adding?
She's done a lot of work with how does the brain learn, and in that regard, as far as teachers go, knowing the physiology, the neurophysiology of the learning process, how do you adapt your teaching styles to students' learning styles?
So you're saying maybe some workshops led by her?
Well, when I see this teacher in residence program, what appeals to me is the possibility, the opportunity to come out here and sit down and pick her brain. I've been reading her stuff for a while and following what she does, and I think that it would be a very powerful one-two as far as specific information about a particular aspect of physics or biology, as well as pedagogy.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I was just going to suggest that maybe you offer it under the guide of independent study for however you want to title it, but independent study always works. And secondly, you know, for each week, maybe give one unit of credit. And, you know, basically within that, at the end of each week, just have each participant, you know, just like you have your put this thing online, have them put a little discussion of what they're doing online at that time, and while it's fresh in their minds. That's about it.
Okay, thank you. A couple over here. Whoever gets the microphone first.
I had a question about the development of the instructional pieces themselves.
Yes.
The benefit is for our students. So then the question is, and I'm going to go along with what you were saying about education, you have to look at what is measurable for this project. So working on these instructional materials, we have to have something that is measurable. So do we look to, for some states, Common Core? Do we look to other states' standards? Do we look at College Board topics?
You mean measurable in terms of outcomes?
Or correct.
In terms of number of deliverables or something?
Both. So for example, these four teachers of residence, and it opens up to example these teachers that have participated to say, would you like to be part of this program for action research? These are units that we have created based on these topics. It covers student expectations, whatever it is for this grade level, or Common Core standards here. Are you willing to participate in this action research in your classroom and have follow-ups every grading cycle or when you put it into your scope and sequence? And what benefit did you see that was measurable in terms of student comprehension, process skills in the laboratory, for example, et cetera? So that to me is the most critical piece, is how do we deliver it to the students and how is it measurable for the actions that we did?
Okay, that's interesting. So maybe we should do other people want to speak about how students get their information nowadays? I think it's changing rapidly, right? That is, students I know don't use email anymore. They use social media networks. They stream things live on their mobile devices rather than sitting at desks and looking at computer screens. And this is rapidly in flux. Are the schools adapting to this? Are there new modes of transmission of information that are not being measured now? Can we take advantage of any of these? I'm not sure the KITP is the ideal home for this. I mean, we do have a very extensive website, and I could see materials being available on our website at a certain on our outreach pages. Is that enough? Is it enough to have a URL that you could go to or students could go to, or do you need other more directed software? Any thoughts on this? I don't actually know. I'm really asking.
I would say, venturing a guess, is we're sort of behind the curve for the most part on how students access information. We're still struggling whether or not they should be able to use their phones in class to, you know, to get information. It'll eventually happen. I don't understand why. I can understand why they don't want to do it, but it's going to happen.
Do students use other devices besides phones, like
pads, but they, you know, we don't have, for example, we don't have Wi-Fi in the classroom. Uh-huh. So they, you know, I mean, it would just be awesome because I don't need to find a computer lab that will hold all 42 of my students in one of my class. And just, you know, take out your pads, find this information, you never have to leave the classroom. So I think that's going to change. I think it's a great idea to track students to a point, but this is maybe it's because I'm close to retiring. Measuring deliverables and doing longitudinal studies, and you know, of how they're doing by quarter and comparing to what we expect to do them, and that would just
longitudinal means
over time. Yeah, you know, so you know, we're tracking how they're doing compared to other students. I'm old, I'm over, I'm down on my pay schedule. I have no desire for continuing education credits or doing action research of any kind. I just want to deliver something that I think my students will find interesting and interactive to them without making them part of some educational research. I mean, that's just me personally.
Are you at a public or a private?
Public.
Public. So I've noticed in this area a big divide between the public school needs and the private school needs. That is, we offer local outreach where we send researchers out to high school classes to give them enrichment. That is, topics that would not be covered in their curriculum. Typically, this is high school physics classes, but it doesn't have to be. I have a hard time getting any public high school teacher interested in this because they have a tight schedule, and if I take away one of their classes, then they're going to miss a topic that they need to cover. I don't have a similar problem with the private schools. They're more than happy to have someone come in and speak about string theory or speak about morphogenesis in biological organisms or particle physics or, you know. But public schools, I haven't had a single public school teacher follow through with me on this. So I don't know if this is a universal thing. I mean, I'm hearing there's heterogeneity in what teachers want a little bit, but this was a major divide that I saw locally. I don't know. I don't want to get into a discussion about the heterogeneity because that itself was maybe divisive. But yes.
I don't know how structured you are. You have this program at this stage of the game, but I would assume you've got some collaborative time that's built into the 3-week time period where the four teachers and residents would work together, as well as with their mentor, with the physicists to whom they're assigned?
Yeah, it's almost all collaborative. When I say you have tutorials, that's one class a day. It's not like this conference. This is a conference. We run conferences here, but that's not our bread and butter. We run programs. Programs have, at most, one talk a day. So that's the level of intensity. Everything else would be collaborative time. That is, you're here to collaborate with people in the program and also with the other teachers. That's why you would have a point of contact in the program. Of course, we expect you to work collaboratively with the other teachers who are here at the time as well.
My suggestion related to that, though, is I think a lot of the issues that that we look at as educators, deliverables and Common Core and things of that nature, those would get solved in as the program progresses in the summer and as those discussions happen during that collaborative time.
Would you like that time structured, or do you think it's something that's will be a epiphenomenon of the people who are invited?
I think it would happen. Yeah.
I have the mic.
Oh, yes.
I just want to go back to what the gentleman in the front said, the one close to retiring. I think there's something to be said about giving students learning opportunities that, and I understand what the young woman back here said about measurement. We're working on a program in our school where the students are doing some work on, independent work on special relativity, and we're part of a pilot program doing it, but we're not involved at all with any of the metrics or things like that. But I can tell you one thing is that if you put the students down in front of a computer and have them watch a video, that immediately tunes them out. They want it to be interactive. They want to be communicating. So some of the suggestions that our students made were they wanted to have a social network component to it so that while they were watching their videos, they could chat. And these are things that my students do automatically. Nobody tells them that you have to go onto Google Chat and discuss what you're doing, but some sort of social media, some sort of connection between students that are participating in this, I think is really, really important.
Well, I'll just comment, I think this exposure to the Dos Pueblos Engineering Academy, I was not taught in a project-based way when I was a student, and I think a lot of us were not. So this exposure to a different mode, a different model that gets you away from looking at videos or something online, that could be very valuable. And I was suggesting what the KITP could do. We don't have labs in this building. We can't provide project-based learning on site here, but being exposed to that, maybe seeing that somewhere else, it sounds valuable to me. But yes. Okay, question over there. Yes.
What about making a massive online open course?
I think that's so far out of the purview of the KITP that I don't think we would go there. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. Would we charge tuition? this opens up a can of worms. I don't know if that's necessarily true. It is true. Okay, I guess I don't know. Yes.
I just have three very short things, but I think that having students that are participants afterwards in the work, having some sort of contact with other schools. I know it was sort of mentioned. I think that that would be invaluable to my students to know that they were contacting kids in another state that were also participating in this. I think for the participants, the four participants, having some kind of contact prior to just sort of see where you're at as far as your ideas and what you're studying and so forth would be great. I'm also wondering if you are planning for it to be available in 2015, because I'm sort of crushed, but I have something like smack dab right in the center of all of this, and I don't even think, unless I can move things, can even apply for it. So are you planning on 2015 also?
If it works out in 2014, I think we'll do 2015.
Oh, okay.
1 year at a time. This costs money to run a program like this.
Right.
And right now we don't, we've committed the funds for this coming year. So we have to, we work on a 5-year budget here. Mm-hmm. And our funding is contingent on the NSF's level of funding. So
you need anybody to beg with letters.
I can't speak too far advanced in the future. Yeah, okay. Let's go here.
I was going to say, in terms of local teachers in public schools not being receptive to you, I think after this year, when the CSD tests become gone, you'll probably get a more receptive audience to that.
That's a little window, though. And
when they get rid of CSTs, I mean, it's April 25th, and by April 25th, you better be done with this.
Okay. Right.
And so it's very squeezed. Now CSTs, the Common Core testing, I've sort of taken some of it as a practice. It's less course specific, more as it is in process than content. So I think you would probably find them very receptive to it.
Thank you. Comment.
The Common Core is a tough thing. It's a stone wall, but the AP program has changed the course, of course, you know. And they in their 100 days of, you might want to try these as a lesson for that day. There's specific things they'll tell you more. Don't tell the students what the period of the pendulum depends on. Give them the stuff. Let them come up with the relationship themselves. What could they do graphically to get? I think that if you become a way for those AP teachers to find ways that are actually being used on the cutting edge, the students would have a real breakthrough, I think, to have. What you're proposing to do is ideal for that situation where it's like, don't stuff these guys like chickens you're trying to make for Thanksgiving. Make them actually be able to think and work through. That's what you guys do.
I don't know. That's what we do. what we do, we're a center for visiting scientists to come and spend long-term visits collaborating with their peers. That's our main mission here. And our mission, we see it as necessary that we transmit the fruits of this to people who, you know, are not invited here all the time, but as the scientists themselves, we want to reach students and teachers. We want to show them the results of the research that's going on here. So that's what we're about. We don't typically have students in this building. They come once. We have some special high school groups that come in one day a year, something like that. Graduate students are actually very rare in this building. We don't have undergraduates or graduates. The postdocs, people who have their PhD, are usually the lowest ranked people in the building. They're the people that kind of just make it into our programs under the line. So, but there are some graduate fellows, very few. Yeah, our orientation is a little different.
I don't mean having even one student. No students would come here. I mean, the teachers would go back knowing what is on the cutting edge to share with their students.
But the question is, what's our role in providing a platform for that? I mean, is our website the ideal platform for that? It's not clear to me exactly. Are there things other than a URL that we can do, or that's within the purview of our NSF grant? I leave that to you to come up with ideas, because I'm not a professional in science education. Unlike the UCSB researcher that was mentioned, that's not my area of study. I don't study the neurological basis of learning and things like that. But you know, we're touching on issues here which relate to that, perhaps, in some ways. What is the ideal role that we can play to help you in getting students interested in science and math and technology? Where do we fit in? So this is where this program that actually came from your suggestions last year at the town meeting last year is our response to that. We We want to leverage what we do best. That is, we run programs. That's what we do best. How can we leverage that to help teachers? Way in the back, there's something? No, I can't see where you're pointing, Craig. Okay, yes.
Greg just said what I was going to say with the one addition. You recall, those who've been here, that for 5 years, there was the Rob Prize, where
yes.
attendees here created excellent PowerPoints
yes.
that were then posted on the web.
Yes.
And then Lars and Greg, I imagine, were the impetus behind extending that opportunity. Those of us who welcome the chance to interact with the physicists now have a much greater opportunity spending the 4 weeks. And that what came out of what everybody's desire is here for, and in fact the brainstorming as to why there weren't 500 people who wanted to come here. The claim was that one day wasn't really enough to motivate them, but that 3 to 4 weeks would be. And so that's their main intent right now, to find out if we can find a way to generate interest amongst the faculty throughout the country who might come here for this program.
Yeah, for those who are new, there used to be something called the Rob Contest, or the Rob Prize that was here. R-A-A-B is how you spell Rob. And that's no longer funded. Unfortunately, that produced materials that I'm told some of you use in your classes. I'm not sure what percentage of you use those materials. That's not funded anymore. We're thinking of this program instead. So, yeah.
Talking. I've been retired for 9 years, so I'm going to be in the colleges. But my point is, I have to get got a little distracted. So I read something from today's Wall Street Journal. Okay, the topic is students join battle to curb teacher tenure, and it says research. This is a little quote. Research has pointed to teacher quality as the biggest in-school determinant of student performance. And in recent years, many states have moved to simplify dismissal procedures for ineffective teachers and encourage districts to consider teacher performance in layoff decisions rather than conducting reductions in force based only on seniority. Now, after 33 years with LA Unified, and first of all, I've never seen you get a good representation of LA Unified. I don't think I've seen more than 3 LA Unified teachers here at one time. So the outreach is limited to the biggest school district in just about in the country, next to New York. The point I'm trying to make, though, is you need a reality check. I as soon as I hear anything about measurements and all of that sort of stuff, I personally turn off. But what I do want to say is, if you, with all the good private school students and the success you have here, I would suggest you consider some type of, it sounds a little silly, but if you were to take and offer some, at least if you have 4 teachers, if you were to offer 4 students to come in and consult with teachers they've never had, whoever you can get in here, and have them assist them in some of the apps, some of the things that kids themselves would like to do, then you might be able to get something done, because you're dealing with your market immediately and directly. So I suggest you consider offering this not just to 4 teachers, but a learning opportunity for kids in the local area who would actually conduct with it and then help out the teachers.
Okay, interesting suggestion. Do you teachers need immediate feedback from bright students?
They don't have to be that bright.
They don't have to be that bright, okay. Well, okay, so let's say, is it helpful for you to, as someone who has taught at the undergraduate level, sometimes I appreciate the undergraduate evaluations at the end of the semester, and sometimes I don't appreciate them. Sometimes they're helpful and sometimes they're not. I'd be interested to hear what your opinions are at the high school level. Is it useful to have a guinea pig there who you could test your ideas out on in real time?
Hi, I'm not an educator, so I'm a postdoc, those people that just squeak in under the line. But I think what you're finding out here is our complete level of ignorance about pedagogy and things like that. And so I think that the basic answer is that we don't actually have the answers for a lot of these things, and that the idea is that the teachers come and they create these things. So if they think that, I mean, you guys could probably also be part of the development of the actual program afterwards. So if you guys think that it's important to have assessment and to have these materials, then, I mean, that's something that can be done. But we don't have any of these answers because we don't know anything.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You're our experts. This is a work in progress. I threw these slides together, you know, last week. So I can make a new slide on the fly if you have a great idea, and I can change this program. But in this teacher in residence program, you're our educational experts. That is, we're relying on you to teach us, in a sense. You know, we want it to be a two-way street. We can give you exposure to the cutting-edge research, but what we need from you is your expertise in how to reach students. We don't have that in this particular building.
I just wanted, can I make one last comment? I actually think so, as somebody who may eventually be teaching adults undergraduate physics. I think it's actually an amazing opportunity for the scientists as well to learn more about pedagogy and to learn from you guys more about what it takes to make these course materials. So I think it could be a phenomenal learning opportunity all the way around. I'm done.
Okay, yes.
I've spent the last three summers up at the University of Washington with the physics education group there.
Yes.
And
very
I found
famous group.
In a great. I'm there once a week during the school year as well. And I found the time spent there extremely useful, in that I was exposed to different ways of instructing physics. And those different approaches to instruction carried over into I teach chemistry for the most part right now, and so those have carried over and have influenced me in a lot of different ways. What I would hope is that maybe coming out of this conference, or not the conference, but this residence program, I would be able to maybe have time to work with some other teachers to take the knowledge that we gain and develop maybe one or two micro units that are that involve the topics that we were exposed to, and then we could use those in the school year to, and especially for, you know, there's a lot of talk about, oh, we got to hit all these standards, and so the teachers don't have time, they have tests to hit. Well, what about the kids that are beyond that level anyway? Where are their enrichment? You know, this would be a great, even for folks that don't have time, they still have kids that have A's and they don't need any more of this, they need something extra. This would just be great. And then maybe be able to publish those on the website. Here's the materials we developed, and with teacher notes and that kind of thing that we could provide.
So, so I'm aware of the effort at the University of Washington. They have a lot of materials that are accessible online. Is that true? And also the University of Colorado has an extensive physics education research site with a lot of online materials as well.
ASU has the modeling curriculum.
ASU, okay. Yeah, so I don't see us as competing with those necessarily. Materials that were developed as part of this program, obviously a good place would be to put those up on our website, and provide a format for that. Yes, you need the microphone though.
I just have one quick suggestion. In terms of your planning for this, it may be helpful to have a teacher involved in the planning of the program.
Yes.
That understands the pedagogy that's going behind it, so that the participants aren't worrying about the pedagogy of the program and the pedagogy they're trying to develop.
Okay, thank you. I think we have to quit. If there are no other, I don't see any other questions, so let's conclude the town hall. Thanks for all of your comments and suggestions.
Don't forget to sit at a different table than everyone.